Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Taco Tuesday, and we're going to take you all the way to go home time. So I'm switching gears now. I just spent the better part of the show so far. Is there a better part? I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is this. I spent a bunch of the show so far going through what I call passing on the problem. The idea that a Kamala Harris, Tim Walz administration, we don't know what they'll do. If they get there, they can say what they want to now. No. We can look at where they've been. And we don't want Minnesota passing on its problems to us. In fact, a bunch of folks in Minnesota are warning us right now. Let me shift gears. Let's go to dipper number two. National insecurity. It is reasonable to believe that what we've seen for the last 4 years in a Biden-Harris administration would be exactly what we would see in a Harris-Walz administration should they get elected when it comes to national security. Why would you expect any different? She sat there and did nothing but go, you know, clap, clap, yay, Joe's doing a great job. I support what he's doing. Bidenomics is wonderful. Everything's good. I was the border czar, did nothing. Everybody on the world stage, just know that this is going to be continuing, all right? Here's the thing. The world knows that. And the U.S. citizens know that. We know that. Story on Fox News right this very minute. Brand spanking new up on their screens. I'm looking at it. Critics have claimed that President Biden's seemingly light schedule now. By the way, he was at the beach again this weekend. Did you see? Did you see pictures of his pasty whiteness laying on the beach again? There he was, doing nothing. How often do you need to go to the beach when you're the president of the United States? I am pretty sure that job has a pretty high op tempo, right? The operational tempo of the president's office is robust. I imagine there's late nights and early mornings. I imagine that there's long meetings and that there's opportunities for, you know, getting tired. Nobody, I don't care what your job, needs a weekend vacation every single week. But there he is, laying on the beach. And on the one hand, part of me looks at it and goes, if it weren't for the fact that he's been doing this his entire presidency, I'd say he's just mad he's taking his ball and going home. I think this is what he's been doing, though, all along. But critics are claiming in this story right now that President Biden's seemingly light schedule and his now infrequent public appearances since dropping out of the race will harm America's image abroad, even as the White House stresses recent policy wins. So KT McFarland, I've always liked her commentary. She is sharp as a tack. She's a former national security advisor for Bush. Says Biden has disappeared from view, she said, and Harris is campaigning full-time and won't meet with the press. And this sends a signal to the world that there is no one in charge at the White House. And our allies wonder whether they can trust us. And our adversaries see this as a wide-open window of opportunity when they can exploit us without risk of consequences. She finished up by saying, they know this window of opportunity will slam shut if Donald Trump's elected. So we're in a period right now of maximum vulnerability. That story was not even up until a little while ago. I just found it. It's exactly on par with what I'm about to go through. I prepared the show early this morning, like I finished up these resourcings before 6. And listen, what she just said, You can go ahead and take it to the bank. I called this dipper. What time did I email these out? I think I finished it like right about 6, and then I emailed them out within the hour. I was already calling it national insecurity. KT McFarland, story that just broke out just a little while ago, just put up on Fox News just in the last 35 minutes. KT McFarland says, we are in a period of maximum vulnerability. Trump pledged yesterday, story on the Times of Israel. He pledged about 3 weeks ago. I saw the story yesterday. Trump pledges to build an Israeli-style Iron Dome. So let's talk about the home front first. Before I even get into what's happening international, let's talk about what's happening on the home front. Because the home front should always be first, right? When it comes to matters of public policy, I said you should always err on the side of liberty. When you consider matters related to security, the homeland should always come first. Trump pledges to build an Israeli-style Iron Dome. This is the Times of Israel reporting. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump again pledges to build an Iron Dome missile defense system for the U.S. akin to the one that Israel has. Trump said in a nearly hour-and-a-half-long speech at the Republican National Convention that, quote, Israel has an Iron Dome. They have a missile defense system. 342 missiles were shot into Israel. Only one got through a little bit. Why should other countries have this and we don't? He said, we're going to build an Iron Dome over our country, and we're going to be sure that nothing can come in and harm our people. So first of all, will he build it? I don't know. Am I glad he's considering it? Yep, I absolutely am. I want you to think back for a second. Those of you that grew up in the Cold War era and the end of the Soviet Union and the glasnost period first and then the actual fall of the Iron Curtain. And then if you remember, it was the development of something we called Star Wars. Remember that? The ability to target Soviet missiles from space had the Soviets apoplectic. They couldn't keep up with our technology. They knew we were planning something that would destabilize the arms race, and they couldn't stand it. And you know what? We never built it. We tried. Why do I know? Because my dad worked on it. We did all that we could. We never truly got it off the ground. As a matter of true defense spending, Star Wars was a research project that never truly reached culmination. But it broke the Soviet Union. The threat of Star Wars caused the Soviet Union to capitulate on the arms race, and the Cold War ended in part because of the push for something that we don't even have now. My point in this is, national security is not always built on what you got. National security is on what you're willing to go try to get. And when you have a president who says, by God, the homeland comes first, and I'm pushing for an Iron Dome in the United States, he may never get it. In fact, the reality is he's only going to have 4 years in office. He may never get there. But what I'm saying is leadership matters. And when you put somebody in office who is willing to speak to the issues, who is willing to say, I'm going for that because it's good for my people, all of y'all get out of the way, then next thing you know, you've got other people paying attention, and they know that they've got something that they're concerned about, and it causes a change in the national security posture. All right, let's take a look at some real metrics, though. Where are we right now under Biden-Harris? How about military recruitment? It's still flagging, man. It is still out there. We still need boots on the ground. We need troops in the barracks. We need people. We need some gun toters and snake eaters. We need some people who drive trucks and turn wrenches. We need some people who will, you know, put the beans and bullets on the battlefield. We need all of it, every bit of it, and we're lacking. Story here from News Nation Now came out just about 30, 40 days ago. It says the military hasn't been reaching recruitment goals to refill its ranks, and shortfalls are now impacting some branches more than others. Politicians on both sides agree that the military recruitment shortfall is a concern, and then the article begins to question, is it possible that a national mandate could fix things? What does that mean? Draft? So, are we going to have a draft? No, I don't think so. No time soon. I think a draft is relegated to the idea of a full mobilization for a time of like World War II style war. You see that happen, then yes, there will be a draft. We'll have to. But my point is, the fact that they're talking about it means something. It has gotten to the point right now that our military readiness, our force protection posture, our ability to, you know, project on the world stage is limited to the number of troops we have to get the job done. Yeah, technology's huge. Yes, we still have the best fighting force in the world. Yes, I believe that we could win. But the question is, what could we sustain under current, you know, force projections without seeing a massive change in recruiting? Officials at the Department of Defense say recruiting challenges are complex and multifaceted. I got news. That's your job, fellas. Figure it out. But it's complex. That's like patting somebody on the head and saying, well, it's confusing, so I won't explain it right now. I mean, how many times have you had somebody like a a teacher. There's the one teacher who, when you don't understand, they'll go, "All right, let's break it down. Let's figure out where we can make this click for you." Then there's the other teacher who just kind of pats you on the head and goes, "Well, this might be more than you can handle." That's what we just got from the DOD. Recruiting challenges are complex and multifaceted. Figure it out. Because this year, the story goes, represents the smallest active duty force we've had since 1940. That's pre-World War II. The smallest force we've had in, you know, pushing, what, 90 years, 80 years? After missing recruitment goals in 2022, it says the Army and the Navy fell short of those goals again in 2023. According to federal data, across all military branches, the shortfall for 23 was about 41,000 total recruits. That's a lot. The Marines and Space Force were the only branches who met their objectives. They're also the two smallest branches. I'm glad they made mission. But they had the least amount of numbers to, but I guess pro rata, maybe they didn't, but you know what I'm saying. A DOD report published last year revealed the number of service members has now been down overall since 2005. It says, so this is what the DOD is doing. Talk about a CYA moment. Well, I mean, we've got smaller numbers since like 2005. No, that's called downsizing. Let's don't confuse downsizing with not meeting mission. When you have a reduction in force, that's different than saying we couldn't get people to come in. That's a totally different thing. But then he goes on to talk about the draft, and I'll say this real quick for the break. A draft hasn't been instituted in the country since what, like 1973, I think. So enlisting service right now is totally voluntary. We have an all-volunteer force. That builds quality. That means everybody who was there wanted to be there. But Lieutenant General Richard Newton, a former U.S. Air Force Assistant Vice Chief, said to News Nation that the country's recruitment efforts are a national security crisis. But even still, he could not fathom a draft. My point, though, in bringing this story up is recruiting is down. Recruiting is way down to the point that they're having to even talk about the draft. That means something. All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm still on national insecurity. And listen, let's finish up with Homeland and then move to overseas because, y'all, there's stuff happening right now. It is a real world out there. It's a real world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just slinging some truth bombs, giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. So in this section, national insecurity, where we are right now is former National Security Advisor KT McFarland, who is one of my favorite commentators when it comes to our pundits, and not even really a pundit. She's one of my favorite subject matter experts on the question of national security. That was her gig, man, and she's still good at commenting on it. She says that we are sitting right now, today, on the calendar right now, we are in what she calls a period of maximum vulnerability. The bad guys in the world see the White House as being pretty much vacant. Biden's never there. He just hangs out at the beach. When he does, he has the light kind of softball schedule. He does the freebie events, like, you know, hosting the sports team that won an award or whatever. Kamala's too busy out there trying to campaign and hiding from the press, so she won't give any direction as to where the country stands on things under her watch. Because that's important. You know, there are times when I hate seeing reporters yell at an executive, you know, or anybody for that matter, any politician yelling at them, "Hey, what are you going to do about this thing?" But every once in a while, though, you got to answer the mail. She's not answering the mail. So our enemies right now in the world, they see us as being vulnerable, and they also recognize that Trump comes into office, it's a whole different ballgame. So if something's going to be done, she says we're in a period of maximum vulnerability right now. Within that context, I just talked about having a president who's willing to press forward on the issues, having a military that is down in scale to a point that they're even having to talk about, is a draft necessary? No, we're not going to draft people, but we're talking about it. Then there's this, News Nation Now again, Dateline August 6th, so this would be last week. More than 250 migrants on the terror watch list entered the U.S. at the southern border in the last couple of years. 99 of them were later allowed to settle down in the country. That's the ones we know about. There's a brand new 19-page report that the GOP-led House Judiciary Committee released showing the border policies and what's resulting from it. The report alleges that border agents encountered migrants from countries that are considered to have an active terrorist presence. Afghanistan, Iraq, Lebanon, Kyrgyzstan, Mauritania, Pakistan, Somalia, Syria, Tajikistan, Turkey, Uzbekistan, Yemen. Aside from the 99 who were released into the country, there were 34 others on the watch list, but they were not even fully removed from the U.S. You may recall there were 8 Tajik nationals with ties to ISIS that were recently recaptured by ICE after Customs and Border Patrol had released them into the country when it was determined that all of them had terrorist actual connections, and they split up and went to different parts of the country. They had to be tracked down. They didn't come in together and the 8 of them stay together. No. They were like in Philadelphia and New York and Los Angeles. ICE officials told Republicans on the committee the Biden-Harris handling of the border has made it more difficult for officers to arrest national security threats in the U.S. I mean, think about this. This is what we know of. In December of this past year, towards the tail end of the year, 250,000 illegals crossed the border in 1 month. That's the ones we know about. Now, having said all that, where are we right now on the world stage? It's a tough situation right now. Story here from CNN, Dateline 2 days ago. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin ordered a guided missile submarine to the Middle East and accelerated the arrival of a carrier strike group to the region ahead of an anticipated Iranian attack against Israel. This is real. So the USS Georgia is a nuclear-powered submarine armed with Tomahawk cruise missiles. I've forgotten how many it can carry, but it's a massive payload. It's been operating in the Mediterranean Sea in recent days. Austin ordered them into the waters off the Middle East. The Pentagon said the movement of the U.S. missile submarine is rarely revealed publicly. So the reason why they announced it was to hopefully basically say, we have a big stick coming your way, Iran. You might want to chill. They're literally announcing that we're putting a nuclear-powered sub with cruise missiles into the Mediterranean. Has it been there before? Probably. We don't announce it. We only do that when we're trying to push for detente. That's where we are. Middle East, it's looking rough right now. We'll talk about it more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I love this place. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean to say, y'all, this show goes like, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I'm going to take a moment here and just remind you guys, listen, all reality, you've got to check out Inspire Advisors. This is so cool. So I know this audience. You're the kind of people that stand up for what you believe in. You're also the kind of people who a lot of you are doing what you can to set aside something for your retirement or invest. And listen, you may be interested to know that the kind of people who invest sometimes get stuck with things they don't stand for what they believe in. You may be shocked to find out that part of your investment portfolio contains things that support abortion or human trafficking or, you know, any number of things that are just contrary to your beliefs. So, again, time to meet Paul Breyer. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. They are experts in what is known officially in the field as biblically responsible investing, or BRI. So, Inspire Advisors, they'll sit down with you for free. I mean, no fuss, no muss, no upsell. Don't worry about it. They'll just literally look at your portfolio, give you a free impact report, and tell you what they see in there that, you might want to be aware of this. They can even point you to some biblically aligned alternatives. If you'd like to know more about them, if you want to meet Paul Breyer, sit down with them in person for free. Go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. Or go to our website. It's too easy. Go to rightsidemedia.org. Rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab. Click on their logo. It takes you straight to their website. Listen, bottom line is this. Inspire Advisors is godly. It's conservative. It's balanced. It's like financial freedom. So check it out. Inspire Advisors. I wish you would. Wrapping up this dipper, and then I'll take some text messages to close out the day. So the end result of this, The problems we got on the world stage are huge right now. I don't want to minimize this at all. We have perhaps the most dynamic and fluid and yet explosive moment that we've had in the Middle East in my lifetime. We're sitting on a place right now where Iran is threatening Israel, not quietly working in the background to foment discord by using its proxies to come across the border and do things. No, Iran is threatening as a nation to a nation. That's a next level. But it's not just rhetoric, because just in April of this year, don't forget, in April of this year, Iran launched missiles from its own territory. National missiles as part of the Iranian military were launched and flew across neighboring countries trying to reach Israel. Luckily, the Iron Dome and Jordan and U.S. Military interests took out, for the most part, the entire barrage of over 300 missiles. That's a huge attempt to strike from nation to nation. Now we're looking at whether or not another one is underway or about to be underway. The U.S. says, right here, I'll quote a story from ABC News. The U.S. says it is preparing for a significant Iranian attack on Israel as early as this week. Now, we said this last week, too, and I know that. But this is Dateline today. Apparently, the intel is saying they may have held off for reasons I don't understand. Maybe something in the background. Maybe they're trying to keep their cards close to the vest. But the bottom line is the White House is warning that U.S. assesses that Iran could launch a retaliatory strike on Israel this week and that the U.S. has to be prepared for the attack that could be significant. The warning comes as the U.S. has bolstered its force posture in the Middle East and has been very public about announcing its military moves. By the way, that being very public is designed to issue a warning. Don't do it. We're here. We have an entire carrier strike group that is fresh and is being brought in. We also have a guided missile submarine, the USS Georgia, carries 154 Tomahawk missiles that is now cruising under the waters of the Mediterranean. The U.S. assessment, it says, is in line with what is being reported by Israel as its own assessment of a possible Iranian retaliatory attack as soon as this week. Now, keep in mind, too, that's happening. I'm glad to see we're bolstering our assets, but that also means that we have troops potentially in harm's way in a major flashpoint moment. We also have a current administration that, while they may be doing some things, and I'm glad, we're also talking about the administration that has been soft on Hamas, hard on Israel, slow-rolling weapons shipments to Israel that are part of foreign weapons sales. And oh, by the way, when Netanyahu was here and spoke to a joint session of Congress, which is a historic moment, Kamala Harris was too busy to be there. She did not even go. She met with him later. I know that. She met with him later. That's good. She controlled the flow. What she doesn't have to worry about now is campaigning with a picture of her sitting to the left of the dais behind Netanyahu's, you know, shoulder. This is happening as we speak. Also as we speak. I hope y'all are keeping track of Ukraine. I don't care how you feel about the Ukrainian war. I have mixed feelings. Now here's the thing. You know what I really concerned myself about? Number one, Russia does not need to win this fight. They don't. We have nobody offering a plan right now. We don't. What we've had is the Biden administration offering a blank check. That's got to stop. At the same time, you got to admire Ukraine's grit, because what Ukraine is doing right now is basically like saying if the states of, you know, California, Arizona, and Nevada banded together to fight the entire rest of the United States, that's about where Ukraine is. They're a strong little gritty country, and they are putting the wood to Russia. And what's happened now, y'all, this is no fooling. For the first time in the entire war, Ukraine has invaded Russia. And I don't mean like a little bit. Ukraine has taken, right now, it's estimated that Ukraine's forces, according to the AP, control upwards of 386 square miles of Russian territory now. Remember back when this was going to be over in 10 days? Remember that? Russia massed their forces, threatening Belarus was right alongside Putin and saying, we'll be there for you and you can rely upon us. And they're bringing forces in from the north and from the west, or from the east, I mean. And even Moldova was getting threatened. And then the Baltics were next. And it's going to be, NATO was going to have to stand up. And here we are several years later, and it's turned now. Ukraine, not entirely. I don't want to paint this as like a turning point in the war. But Ukraine has now invaded Russia, the neighboring Kursk region, the first time a Ukrainian military official has publicly commented on the gains of the lightning incursion that has now embarrassed the Kremlin. What? Yes. Russian forces are scrambling to respond to the surprise Ukrainian attack after a week of fierce fighting. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the incursion, in other words, he had to acknowledge it. He couldn't keep it from the worldview. Putin says the incursion has caused more than 100,000 civilians to have to flee. And it's an attempt by Kiev, Ukraine, to stop Moscow's offensive in the eastern. Well, of course it is. This is the Battle of the Bulge right here. This is Ukraine going, screw you, we'll take some of your land. How do you like that? And they are. But y'all, it's also huge because things are happening. Right now, the article from the AP says the stunning maneuver caught Kremlin's forces off guard, and it counters Russia's unrelenting efforts in recent months to punch through Ukrainian defenses. Except that it also puts Putin on edge. And he is not a stable man. He is not a stable man at all. We're looking at a situation right now where Putin is being pushed backwards. Not only that, he's losing his own ground. And a man like Putin is worried as much about saving his own face as he is about doing anything meaningful on the world stage. He's also nuclear. An unstable leader losing ground against what should be a weaker enemy, being embarrassed and recognizing his own military can't get the job done. Putin said today that we are watching the Western world beat us with Ukrainian hands. That's what he said. Meanwhile, Russia took control of a Ukrainian nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia and set it on fire yesterday. It says the main fire at the Russian-controlled Zaporizhian nuclear power plant in Ukraine has now been extinguished, Russia's TASS state news agency reported earlier on Monday, each side blaming the other, but the reality is this is a war started by Russia. Russia took over the plant. The plant caught fire. Guess how that happened? The UN's International Atomic Energy Agency nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, which has a presence at the vast 6-reactor nuclear facility, said its experts have seen strong dark smoke. I've seen the video. It wasn't a little bit. It was a lot. Strong dark smoke from the northern area of the plant in southern Ukraine after multiple explosions. President Volodymyr Zelensky published a grainy video showing belching black smoke that appeared to be coming out of one of the cooling towers with a blaze burning at his feet, saying radiation indicators were still normal. Russia said on Monday it had evacuated parts of Belgorod, another region to the Ukraine, next to Ukraine, after Kiev sharply increased its military activity. That all happened. That all just happened. That all is happening as we speak. We are in a position where things on the world stage could explode in more than one location. And then there's this. Some of y'all are out there, by the way, don't get depressed. God's still on his throne. I say that with all sincerity. He is. Dakar, Senegal. Senegal? Why do we care about Africa, Phil? What's going on? What are you worried about Africa? How about this? China has made such advances on the African continent that we are now being asked to leave places where we have had bases. Did you know that in Niger, and by the way, I know one of our listeners has a son who just got back. In Niger, we just closed 2 Air Force bases and we're pulling out all U.S. troops because the junta that took over the government there last year has made an alliance with China and is kicking us out of one of what used to be one of the most stable countries in the African continent. So the U.S., this is according to the AP, Dateline last week. The U.S. handed over its last military base in Niger, one of 2 crucial hubs for American counterterrorism operations, to local authorities. The handing over of Air Base 201 in the city of Agadez came after we withdrew from Air Base 101, a small drone base in Niger's capital. U.S. troops have until September 15th to leave entirely because you know, when you're President Biden and Vice President Harris, you just rather give things up. Sort of reminds me, if you heard the show earlier, sort of reminds me of Tim Walz, who wants to be vice president. When they were burning down parts of Minneapolis, a police officer testified that she heard the governor say, go ahead and give it up, give up the precinct. That's what just happened here on a national scale. In Niger, Africa, we just gave up the precinct. We just literally said, oh, you don't want us here after we spent hundreds of millions of dollars and we're fighting counterterrorism because, oh, you like China better now? Okay, we'll leave because that's what we do when we're on this kind of a mission. Niger, it says, has been seen as one of the last nations in the Western, in that region that the U.S. could partner with to beat back growing jihadi insurgencies. The U.S. and France had up to 2,500 military personnel in the region until recently. And we have invested hundreds of millions of dollars in military assistance and training. But Russian military trainers arrived to take over, and China has made incursions in the area. National security. It matters. Big Rig, take me to a break while I recover myself. Holy shmoles. All right, listen, y'all. I'm serious. God is still on his throne, and we're right here to keep you informed. You're going to know it. You're going to keep your head on a swivel. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Listen, I'm going to take a quick phone call and a few text messages because we are about to the top of the hour. I will say this, though. And the lovely Charlene just also reminded me of this to say this, too. And that's who she is. I want to encourage y'all to pray for our nation. And I say that no fooling. Like, pray for our nation and pray for revival. God hears prayers. He is still on his throne. God hears prayers. And I believe, too, that, I mean, it's scriptural. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So listen, we got a lot going on. And it is absolutely 100% something you can do. And you can do it every day. And it doesn't cost you a thing. Pray for our country. Real quick phone call. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, buddy. How are you doing?
I made it through Nashville. I'm doing great, man.
Whoop, whoop. Good deal. Good deal.
Hey, you know, the thing about it is if Trump doesn't get back in there with the administration basically having the same people running as we do now, I think Israel's going to be kaput.
First of all, I don't think Israel is ever going to be kaput. I think that I think I have to believe that the scripture says they won't be kaput, but I think they're going to be under the gun, and I think we'll see some serious end times fighting. But I don't think they're gonna go away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about what happens with Iran gets us nuclear bombs. And
oh
stuff,
yeah,
and then just putting a dirty bomb off. It doesn't have to be a nuclear explosion over both the capital or any of the large cities in Israel. Basically, just clean out the whole country.
I disagree. I think right now, too, you got to watch some of the neighboring countries like Saudi Arabia. What happens? I mean, in Egypt, for that matter. I mean, you got some unstable alliances over there right now, and they all hate Iran, but they also kind of abide by Israel. So, I mean, it's a dicey situation. Hey, man, I gotta cut it short because I ran long on my last segment, and I want to get a couple of text messages in before I get gone. All right.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, buddy. See you. Real quick, Ed P. from Huntsville, he says, Phil, while the Western world spins out of control, where's our commander-in-chief? On the beach. Where is the VP? On the campaign trail, rustling up a mess of word salad. Pray hard for our country and the world, brother. Ed P., you're on the money, brother. J.T. Lacey Springs says, with the military being forced out of Africa, will the base and its infrastructure be scuttled or left like Afghanistan for the new neighbors to move in and enjoy? Oh, no. Russian trainers are already showing up there to make use of the facilities that we built, just so you know. A ruffian OG from St. Florian, Alabama says, announcing USS Georgia's patrol posture publicly, OPSEC must mean something different than when I was deploying. Oh, I get it, man. They're using it as a deterrent. Listen, it's a full slate. It's absolutely a full slate right now. Jim from Grove Oak says, hey, Colonel, Yuri Bezmenov defected from Russia and told us that the only way the U.S. could be defeated was from the inside out, and his words are still online for all to see. Yes, they are. And that is absolutely true. Josh from Hayden says, pray for our current president and that the right man will get in at the end of the year. God bless. I noticed you didn't say the right woman, but yes, I agree with that completely. Gary from Decatur says, Biden's on the beach because that's all he's capable of doing anymore. Wait till the cover-up over the Las Vegas event blows up. There are communications of the Secret Service asking for escorts to the nearest ER from their location. Uncle Joe is sicker than we think. I think you are right, man. I think we're going to find out later on how bad it was. But listen, here's the bottom line, you guys. God is still on his throne, and there's more of us than there are of them. So stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.